Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, who are the creators of Fuse, the insurance marketing software that skyrockets your retention, boosts policies per customer, and makes your clients love your agency without having to hire more staff, more programmers, or technologists. And I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the movers, innovators, geniuses, and the people who are making a difference in this industry and to discern and deconstruct what they do and try to package that for you so that you can grow your agency faster. I'm delighted to introduce you to this conversation with my guest, longtime industry veteran, longtime industry technologist, and one of the co-founders of Ask Kodiak, which, if you are not familiar with it, is a commercial insurance platform that connects agents and brokers with the right insurance products. And we dive right into Mike's perspective on what's wrong with insurance today, and particularly what's wrong with commercial lines insurance today. And as I said, one of the things I admire is that Mike, he doesn't just have insight, he's actually doing something about it. He is a solution, he's a problem solver. So we talk about problems, but we also talk about solutions. So whether or not you're a commercial lines agent or you're just a serious insurance professional, this is a really interesting conversation. Mike really does not hold back about his perspective about an industry that he loves and cares about, but also clearly how it can be better. So again, I am introducing you to a conversation with another person who is a longtime insurance veteran, but also a technologist. Why have we interviewed so many people who are merging insurance and technology? Because insurance is merging with technology. And I really do believe firmly, you need to know what's happening in the industry. You need to know what the possible solutions are for problems that you're identifying in your agency. And it's best for all of us to be serious students of the industry, to know what's going on and what the trends and forces are that are causing change. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce you to this conversation with Mike Albert, again, co-founder of Ask Kodiak. And prior to that, he's been in senior technology leadership roles in our space for a long, long time. Mike Albert. Mike Albert, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm very, very good. Thank you so much. So first thing I'll ask you is for a short thumbnail on your background and what led you to this interesting and important place you are in the industry right now.
Yeah, sounds good. Everybody's got their insurance story about how they ended up in the industry. Mine started in rural Pennsylvania, working for a mutual insurance company, hooking their policy administration system up with agent desktops. They had a custom agency management system. And I started out by doing an upload project as a consultant. And unfortunately, with that on my resume, I've been unable to escape insurance since.
Okay, so insurance was what you were dreaming of as a young lad.
I can retcon it and say now that it was.
But yeah, now that it was. Okay. All right. And so you worked for a carrier that they had you said a custom management system?
Yeah, indeed. They had a relatively small footprint install of a management system that was just sort of regional, and they were trying to hook it to their policy administration system to rate. So I got in there as a consultant and helped them hook that up, and unfortunately, ended up with things like AL3 and policy administration systems and agents and carriers on my resume, and landed here in Boston and started out with a company called AgencyPort, where I was for quite a few years before starting Ask Kodiak almost 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago.
Got it. Okay. So Ask Kodiak started 3 years ago. You're a co-founder, right?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And your current position is?
Jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades. Okay.
Mr. Whatever it takes.
Yeah. Okay. So you are a programmer. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I think I'd probably struggle to define myself, quite honestly. We have very much a next man up mindset here at our company, and whatever needs to be done, whether it's writing code or whether it's dealing with a customer issue or support or even accounting, it's all within the job description.
Got it. All right. So for more than 3 years, you've been doing that with Ask Kodiak. So we'll dive into what you're doing and what the problem is that the company is attempting to solve. We'll do that in a bit. But first, I do want to start out with big picture. You've been in the industry for a while, and obviously you started something to solve problems. From your point of view, what do you think is wrong with insurance today?
Oh, boy. Where do I start?
Yeah, okay. Well, I know you just well enough and Ask Kodiak well enough to have a feeling that maybe that's a question that you know, it would stimulate an interesting answer from you. So
for sure. I mean, look, anybody who is internally minded can look at insurance and realize how much opportunity there is to do things better. And that spans everything from distribution to underwriting to...
Yeah.
There's no area of insurance that anyone could look at with a straight face and say, we got that exactly right.
Okay. But I mean, let's give it some credit. It's obviously evolved organically over, you know, on its own for many hundreds of years and delivered an excellent service or product. But I think the reason I'm asking the question, it's not because I was the first person to think of that question. It seems to me that a lot of people are asking, what's wrong with insurance right now? Because it seems to be ripe for... some people might say disruption, and some people might say some decent solutions.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, from your point of view, yes, you had said it's almost hard to look at the industry right now, and not find things that are wrong with it. So specifically, yeah, let's break this into some chunks. From a consumer's point of view, what do you think is wrong with insurance today?
There's a lot here. And here's one interesting thing that I see all the time is you get, especially folks from the outside, looking at insurance, you know, the industry, and really trying to define it as a thing. And one of the things that folks that have been in the industry certainly appreciate that I think outsiders sometimes don't is how different segments of the market really are from one another.
Right.
And I'm backing into, you know, the question about what it's like for consumers and on the direct side. But, you know, at a high level, people say insurance and mean auto insurance and business insurance and homeowners insurance and special events insurance. But then when you really dig in and start to realize how different commercial is from personal, from specialty, both from a product design standpoint, from a consumer market standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, you start to appreciate the nuance and realize, wait a minute, these are actually really kind of different businesses in a lot of ways. And the area that we focus on is commercial insurance, certainly less so than personal insurance. And I think a lot of outsiders look at commercial right now.
Right.
And they say to themselves, wow, that's really interesting because there's so much opportunity there. Which isn't to say necessarily anything's wrong with it, but that there's a lot of money that people look at and potentially making by doing things differently in business insurance in particular. And you see a lot of the efforts being made right now in the direct space, you know, to get closer to the policyholder, whether you're an insurer or a digital brokerage or even a traditional brokerage. There's from a consumer standpoint, a lot of challenges that can be solved with technology, both in terms of helping them understand and qualify the kinds of products that they need, and then ultimately buy those products in a shopping experience that's a little bit more modern than you've traditionally seen in insurance.
All right. So, from let's take from a carrier's point of view, when you know their participation in the industry, and we can focus on commercial. What do you think is not working well there?
I think one of the challenges that carriers continue to have, and I don't know if there's a magic way to get around it, is that they're encumbered by these legacy system projects. A lot of people say, oh, they're encumbered by legacy systems. In my experience, their intellectual capital is sort of sapped by all of these perpetual policy administration system replacement projects.
Uh-huh.
They start these things, and they're hard. They're really hard. Data conversion, technology implications, operational implications, and they take a really long time to do, to the point where folks start these projects, and by the time they're finished, they need to start over again.
Yeah, okay.
And I see this all the time from carriers. It isn't that they don't want to participate in the modern world or do things with some of these new digital partners. It's just that they don't know how technologically, because they've got, you know, a backdrop of these systems that really weren't designed to do it. And they don't really have the time and energy because these other projects can be so all-consuming.
All right. So I think, yeah, okay.
Like, if I were to really simplify my answer there, I think there's a problem with distraction that comes from the legacy technology as much as the legacy technology is the inhibitor itself.
Okay. And now from the retail agent's point of view, what do you think is wrong with insurance? What's not working?
Systems in general, technology for agents isn't very good.
Uh-huh.
There's some cool things happening that are certainly changing that. You know, a lot of our partners are doing some very interesting things, but it's been an underserved market from a technology standpoint. A lot of the same technology and basic flows that you would have seen 15, 20, even longer than that years ago are still in place. And, you know, if you think about consumer technology, on the other hand, it's like, how many times? So you got this iPhone, maybe you were an early adopter in 2007, and how many times have you gotten new iPhones since then? Like,
right, you can't even keep up. And then when you get the new iPhone or the new Android, you can't hardly keep up with the apps that everybody thinks you should have. Okay.
No, and you're out of date in 18 months. Meanwhile, like, we're talking 18 years and 20 years and 25 years in insurance that some of this agency tech has been sitting out there. So I think from a retail agent standpoint, that's an encumbrance. I also think that there's and it's hard to paint retail agents with a broad brush because they're so different. We have so many of them on our platform, and if you look at the profiles, you know, they really do run the gamut.
Right.
But there's some cultural things there too, which is to say there's a segment, and it's not the whole agency base, but there's a segment of the retail agency base that has been doing business a certain way. Probably not folks listening to a podcast necessarily, but these guys are potentially their own worst enemies as far as new technology goes, and maybe are missing some opportunities simply because they either don't want to or don't know to look for it.
What do you think, what does the future look like for that kind of agent?
They're either going to get acquired when that person that's sort of not out there looking for the new anymore finally gives up on the business, or a family member, a younger generation, is going to take over.
Right. And so are you seeing that in your with the users of your platform, that sometimes it is generation two or whatever the upcoming generation is more likely to embrace Ask Kodiak or other technologies than perhaps the retiring generation?
I am.
Yeah.
It's I think nothing more than just taking a look at things with a fresh set of eyes and saying, wait a minute, we don't have to do it this way. Let's just step back and see if there's a better way to solve any particular challenge. And that runs the gamut for signing up for something like Ask Kodiak on a website to others that I've seen actually out there developing software and some, you know, getting really, really deep on the challenge.
Okay, so I pushed you through three questions. What do you think is wrong with insurance? And we went through carrier side, consumer side, agency side, and a common theme. And of course, this may have something to do with the guy that I'm talking to, but common theme was technology for all three levels, right?
Yeah, and that's probably, like you said, because of who you're talking to, but yeah, go.
Okay, well, it might have something to do with it, but frankly, I think we'd find agreement with practically everybody else that I've talked to.
Sure.
That being said, do you think it's because technology in the insurance industry is a tick or two behind what consumers are used to in other industries?
Oh, it's way behind.
Okay.
If you're building a new company, or even if you're developing new technology under the auspices of an existing company, it's almost like cheating, because you can just go find an adjacent in another industry and bring it in and look like a futurist.
Okay.
It's like bringing F-14 back from the Civil War.
Right. So you are on the leading edge of something that was, that broke ground in other industries 10 years ago, something like that.
Let's just say there's a lot of opportunity to look at adjacent spaces and say, yeah, look, I can take this pattern and bring it over here, and this is going to work really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this kind of dichotomy between, because we hear this so often, insurance is slow, insurance is creaky, there's insurance speed, but then there's internet speed. A number of my guests have also said, consumers are so used to this bar, a higher bar being set by other industries that we're not matching. Why do you think that is?
Good question.
Okay. I think there are good reasons. It's just, it's always a little bit under my skin, because there are clearly innovative people in the insurance industry.
I've worked
with them for, decades.
No doubt. And look, I think that sometimes that whole story gets a little bit too much weight. Amazon and
right.
Apple and Google, and why can't insurance be like that? And hey, maybe in certain segments it can. Like I said earlier, if you look at a segment of insurance, like renter's insurance, okay, cool. That's a much more simplistic product than writing GL for a multi-location car dealership.
Right
the
on.
Bottom, okay. The bottom line is, insurance is just different because, and I think the slowness comes from this, the buying cycle is so slow. Like, you're in the market for an insurance policy once a year at best, if you choose to renew it, unless a contract necessitates you go buy.
Right.
Some kind of new coverage. It's not a frequent buying experience, and thusly it's not something that buyers are particularly comfortable purchasing. You don't sort of get practice doing it, and they're complex financial products, which is, I think, why the whole shopping thing maybe gets a little too much emphasis. I really see this, especially with younger people, especially with more complex insurance products.
Right.
Not just a willingness, but a want to just offload it. I'll let this other guy deal with it, a.k.a. my agent, or whatever you want to call it. Maybe that other guy takes the form of a website. But somebody else is going to get me what I need, and I don't need to think about the details of the cyber coverage that I'm buying and making sure I'm not missing a key coverage that I should have.
What do you think the future of insurance looks like? And you can pick your own imaginary point on the calendar, but how does the future look different than today?
You got to look backwards and realize insurance has always been a person-to-person business.
Right.
It's always been complex. It's always been highly fragmented, both in terms of the insurers and the underwriting capacity and also the distribution side. I think the spoiler is that it's going to be more of the same, but I think technology will play a bigger role as sort of a piece of the whole thing. I think there's always a, particularly as venture capital rushes into a space, this whole idea that, oh, it's going to get disrupted, and this one company is going to be the, insert your favorite company name here, of insurance. And I don't think you'll see that. I think you'll continue to see what you're seeing now, which is iteration. You'll see new companies get built and grow and be very successful, and you'll see old companies continue to grow and be successful, and all of it will, I hope, use technology more effectively to reduce costs and to improve customer experience all throughout the value chain.
Okay. All right. So your company operates in the commercial lines universe exclusively, right?
Pretty much. We do some personal, but generally speaking, so what our product does is if you're a retail agent, historically what you've had to do is let's say you've got an opportunity to write business for an accountant in Missouri. You're having to go to your different carrier websites or sort of like trust your intrinsic knowledge about, okay, who wrote the last accountant I did in Missouri. What we're doing with our platform is really building a search bar that agents can use to qualify an opportunity across all their markets so that they understand the right place to go. And the lion's share of that opportunity has been in commercial lines because it's harder, it's nichier, it's more specific to class or to geography than personal lines is. That being said, we do some personal lines, but the need and the user demand has really been driving us into commercial and specialty in particular.
All right. So real quick, because I want to dive into how you're solving a problem on the commercial line space. Any observations about how the industry is stepping up to the challenges and meeting the challenges on the personal line side?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
What you see happening on the personal line side is a much higher, I'm going back to the technology neighborhood, but a much...
we never left that neighborhood.
No, I guess not.
Okay.
A pretty sophisticated set of new capabilities in terms of online underwriting, and in particular for auto, it's like sort of over, right? I mean, you pretty much... If you wanted to get a quote on your auto, you could go do so in a couple of minutes, no matter who you are or where you are at this point.
A consumer.
A variety of different sources.
A consumer could do that, is what you're saying.
Yeah, precisely.
Right. Okay.
And now, you're starting to see that more so in a real meaningful way in homeowners and in renters insurance. I mean, I don't know if you've had the Swift guys on your program at all, but they've got a really great homeowners workflow. As far as just putting in your address, and it's using public data to fill out everything else and give you a quote. So that kind of thing is what I see happening on personal lines, a much higher degree of automation that thus leads to that more enhanced sales experience and overall a more optimized workflow. That might still involve an agent, but it's still it's just easier for everybody involved.
Okay, so now let's move over to commercial lines. So first of all, your company, 3+ years old, of which you are a co-founder, you're attempting to solve a problem on the commercial line side. So first, can you identify that problem that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, definitely. Especially nowadays, with the prevalence of really good data to make underwriting decisions based on, insurers can be very specific about what they want. So we, my co-founder and I, have worked for a lot of years helping insurance companies build agent portals, build other technology, and as part of that, have realized how fluid their products are. We're getting into this new set of classes. We've designed and tailored this brand new product for the masonry industry or for retailers or wholesalers. Operations. And so what we're doing with our platform is giving them a way to make sure that everybody on the distribution side understands that and has the latest, greatest profile on the kinds of business that they want to write. So that as they're coming in and out of markets, on the other side, retail agents and even wholesale agents have a really simple tool to use to say, okay, cool, this is my go-to guy for this opportunity that I have.
All right, Mike, so I want to ask you, in the commercial lines arena, can you describe what the problem is that you are now attempting to solve with Ask Kodiak?
Yeah, of course. So for insurers, we're trying to make sure that everybody in their distribution force and in the extended distribution force at large understands their products and knows what it is they want to write. And on the other side, we're helping agents and brokers understand what the right and what the best product is for the opportunities they have at hand. Trying to take a little bit of the inefficiency out of the placement process when it comes to market selection.
Got it. Okay. And can I suggest that there is not a little inefficiency in that part of the process, that there's a great deal of inefficiency? Is that fair?
That's fair, and it grows based on the size of the agency. I mean, if for somebody that's a a small mom and pop that only does a couple of commercial insurance policies a month, it's sort of a whatever problem. But as you get bigger into some of the commercial lines brokerages, certainly with any sort of new digital agency who's dealing with opportunities that are all over the country in a variety of different classes, that problem grows exponentially. And frankly, I hear all the time from carriers, oh, I know, my agents know what we write. And then you really kind of dig in and start talking to the agents. And, and you hear that noise a lot. And it's like, wait a minute, There's definitely a disconnect there sometimes. And we're trying to help bridge that gap and make sure that everybody's on the same page.
Okay. So, in fact, a lot of retail agents, they really don't know everything that's all of their carriers, right?
And so much of it's based on bad information, right? I mean, you submit something one time and get turned down. Now, all of a sudden, those guys don't want
this. They have no appetite anymore for that, right?
And the reason. And meanwhile, they spend 6 months rolling out a whole new system and program for it, and you never try it again because you think it's just going to be nice.
Yeah, and how are you going to find out about it? Well, one way is the very, very expensive model that's so popular in the insurance industry and has been for over 100 years, which is the marketing rep going around knocking on doors like a Fuller Brush salesperson and sharing. And I'm not saying that model needs to be tossed out, and maybe this is a different conversation when I'm the guest on a podcast, but it does seem that it clearly is a very old school methodology at a minimum it should be supplemented by some other methodologies.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a tool that can enhance that. I mean, we hear that from agents all the time. It's like, oh man, I got to go sit with the marketing rep for the rest of the afternoon. I got stuff to do. I don't have time for this.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, and it's generally not something. So that conversation between the carrier and the agency usually happens at a time of inconvenience, right?
Yeah,
so in other words, the time of convenience to find out who writes this is when I have a customer or a prospect who wants this. But when we usually have to learn about what carrier X has, it's when carrier X's marketing rep happens to be in the neighborhood.
And compounding the problem, I mean, these are complex, you're not going to retain it all anyway.
Right,
Furthermore, carrier X is describing it differently than carrier Y is describing it differently than carrier Z, and it's just mind-numbing.
Okay, so now we get to the solution that you're putting forward for the industry. Is it safe to say, and I may have gotten this from studying your literature, that you would describe this as a commercial lines search engine?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say for sure.
Okay.
I mean, we're trying to create a user experience that's really as simple as like a Google search. Okay, who wants to write this particular?
Let's walk through one. So let's pick a niche and let's walk through what actually happens in a retail agent's day when they get on Ask Kodiak.
All right, sure. So let's talk about the retail agent being a relatively small agency. Let's think about a customer coming in their front door that has an opportunity to write insurance for a baker. And I bring up baker because that's a funny class because there's a bakery class code, and this isn't in our system, but this is out there in insurance rating land, that is we're eligible for bakeries without baking on premise. You know, I'd make the argument that's the stupidest class code I've ever heard of. I understand why it exists, but on the other hand, it's a bakery. They're going to be doing some baking on premises. So in comes the baker to the insurance agent's office who needs some kind of insurance coverage. Right now, the process for that agent is to pop open, for the most part, given that's probably a small business class, to pop open the 5 or 6 or 10 carrier websites that they're working with and get to screen 2 or 3 or 4 to find out, okay, well, here's all the considerations for bakers. What we're doing with our platform is giving them a way, again, on AskKodiak.com or in certain circumstances in other platforms, and we can talk about some of our partners in a minute, to say, all right, cool, I've got a baker who needs GL. Talk to me about what the best market is and give me all the current information about why the individual insurer's product is the best product to go with for
bakers. Right. So if I'm the agent, how much data am I inputting before I get the answer?
What they do, maybe where they are, There's a little slider to say about how big a policy it can be in terms of annual premium, but this is not an intensive
So we're not approaching an application.
Oh gosh, no.
All right, but some basic information, and enough information. Am I right that you're going to be able to target or tailor your algorithm? Can target or tailor the information that I want to what I want? Not, you know, we're not talking about you know, the largest bakery in the world. I don't want that insurance. Okay. Got it. And so how long does that take?
Oh, a couple of seconds.
Couple of seconds. Okay. So I'm not opening up 5 or 10 websites, and I'm not having to go to screen 3 or 4 on each one. I'm going to your website. I'm entering a few pieces of data, and I'm getting an answer. And it shows me, what, a display of the products that are available from multiple carriers?
That's just it. And, you know, there's always a sensitivity for us. You know, carriers don't want to be spreadsheeted because their products are different. And that's actually true. I mean, the contract language is obviously different from BOP to BOP in particular in terms of what they'll cover. And so what we're doing with our platform is not creating a scenario where it's like, oh, this guy's the same as the next guy, it's the same as the next guy. But rather, our platform, Ask Kodiak, helps them, the carrier, the insurer, tell that retail agent we were just describing the story about why their product is the go-to product for bakeries of this particular size in this particular state.
So what am I going to get? I mean, clearly, you know, it's in the insurer's interest to make sure that let's say I'm going to play the retail agent in this little role play, that I pick, you know, the best product, and ideally if it's theirs, fair enough. It's in my interest that I protect, that I choose the best product, and clearly the consumer who we're trying to serve deserves the best product. So how much data, how does Ask Kodiak help me arrive at the right decision?
Yeah, I mean, it's those dimensions that we talked about. It's what the business does, where the business is, you know, roughly how big the risk is going to be. There's some additional dimensions, too, about the kind of insurer you're looking for, if it's an admitted market. Now, all these things are optional. I mean, you can get as specific as you want or be as vague as you want. But the idea here is to help the agent understand, okay, here's the go-to, not just go-to carrier, but here's the specific product for that carrier, and here's the specific next steps for that product. Hopefully a website that you can click and drop right into, or, you know, worst case scenario, a phone number or contact information for a person who can get you started. And on the flip side, to make sure that given those dimensions that the agents put in, again, what the business does, where the business is, how big the business is, to tell the story about why this product is special. Like, we provide the insurer the ability to conditionally display some of these marketing highlights. So if I'm a baker, show on the screen, here's why we're sweet for bakers. We got this great program, and we're okay with baking on premises and, you know, all these other criteria, so that they can actually get out there and make the case to the agent, but also give the agent some ammunition to make the case to their customer about why this is the go-to coverage for them.
Got it. All right. So I noticed in reviewing, your press releases, that you've created some official partnerships with some other insurtechs, including some that we've interviewed on this series. So, for example, Bold Penguin is an official partner of Ask Kodiak. How does that work?
They are. I mean, so I'll tell you, philosophically, we are very much an open platform, and our job is to help solve the problem that I described earlier. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a home game or an away game, you know, whether that problem's being solved on our platform or on a partner's platform. So both Penguin, as you just described, as well as some others, all have access to our API, which, by the way, so do our customers, so do our partners, so do our agents, so that they can use the information in their own workflows and in their own places. So whether you've got a platform that's managing incoming opportunities, you know, businesses that need insurance, or whether you've got an agency management system, we'll talk about some of that in a second, what we do through our API is provide the ability to do that kind of product selection, you know, wherever it needs to happen.
Okay. So you don't have any direct-to-consumer interface. Am I right about that?
We do not right now.
Okay.
It's, you know, we'll see if we get there one day, but not right now, no.
Okay, got it. All right. And so, you know, again, so now having shared your story of Ask Kodiak, when you look at the future of insurance and you can include your story in it, you know, 5 years from now or whatever, is it, let's say 5 years from now, do you think is it radically different day to day than it is today, or just, you know, are we incrementally getting to a new future?
I'd like to say some things are radically different.
Yeah. Okay.
Although realistically, it's probably more incremental. I think the radical change will mostly come on the distribution side, in particular in terms of how folks are out there marketing their products to agents and brokers, and also to consumers. We see a lot of our partners on the insurer side really focusing on the experience,
focusing on the experience.
On the customer experience.
Yeah,
customer included.
I think you're right. I mean, there are a lot of reasons for that.
And many of them, by the way, count agents as customers.
Yes, indeed.
If you talk to these guys, they'll generally wrap everybody under that same customer umbrella. I think the good thing that's happening out there is people are finally starting to look outside the walls. It gets back to what we talked about earlier on.
Right. Yeah.
You can find these adjacents in other industries. You can learn a lot by just stopping the sort of insurance, groupthink and getting out a little bit. You know, leave the office, go talk to somebody else, go learn some new ways of doing things and bring it back in. And I'm seeing some really cool iterations of that, particularly on the distribution side.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So I want you to, share what you can here. So you work with a lot of agents, and no doubt you probably have had some observations about agents who are on the cutting edge and growing, faster than their competitors versus the agent who's, willing to let this year be like last year. And last year, of course, was like the previous 20 years, right? What do you think is the difference between that former, the group I first mentioned, who probably is going to own the future, and this other group of agents, broadly putting everybody in two buckets, which is a little dangerous. So I'm making a little bit of a generalization, but there are those who are embracing today and embracing cutting edge technologies and those who are not. Maybe I just described it, but what do you see as the difference between the agents who are really making a difference and the ones who aren't?
It's a hunger.
Okay.
I think about our business, right? And the way that we operate day to day is, as like any other startup, it's aggressively, it's being very opportunistic.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately trying to be successful by keeping customers happy and by growing our business. There's that mode where you're just not comfortable. You know, your very existence depends on your ability to hustle, and that typifies that one group that you described.
Right.
On the other side, there's this sort of classic fat and happy. There's a lot of that going on in insurance. That's more the if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's okay that this year be the same as last year. Even a little bit smaller. Don't have that long to go, et cetera. Again, not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're very different mindsets. It's the hungry versus satisfied sort of philosophy. And I think that describes it.
Hungry versus satisfied. And so if I was going to ask you to deliver a message, let's play the game this way. Let's play the billboard game. Okay. You get to put that message on a billboard so it's really big and everybody in the industry gets to read it, but they're all driving 65 miles an hour down insurance highway, so they don't have much time. So if it's much more than 10 words, you're probably not going to get the message across. If you wanted to deliver a message, and let's deliver it to the retail sector, what would you say?
Do something different.
Ah, okay.
I don't even care what, because it's not this one piece. If you just change the way your agency management system, whatever, it's like get yourself into the mindset of trying new things.
Okay, got it.
And it's true for whether you're talking about a retail agency or a carrier or a brokerage or whoever. It's operationalize trying new stuff and getting it wrong and getting it right and going through the process. I think that's one of the biggest challenges the industry has is they don't know how to do new things because they take everything so maybe too seriously sometimes, a little too risk averse.
Oh, by nature, this is a risk averse industry. And so, but that's probably sometimes a dangerous mindset for an entrepreneur.
For sure.
All right. Mike, if our listeners have any questions for you, if they want to find out more about Ask Kodiak, if they want to pick your brain because you're such a smart guy, whatever, how should they reach out to you?
Yeah, I mean, we're at askkodiak.com.
Okay.
If there's any retail agents out there, I'd welcome you to check out the site for no other reason than to give me some feedback on what we're doing.
Okay, so you're at askkodiak.com, and I'm going to ask a question on behalf of my listeners who might be wondering, why are you Ask Kodiak?
We sat down to name the company, and one of the first things we said is, all right, we don't want to have this sound like an insurance brand.
Right.
So we started, riffing on different ideas, and my partner Alan happened to be going through slides that his dad had taken, doing some work with big game and particularly Kodiak bears in Alaska.
Yeah, okay, right.
He was helping digitize his dad's slides, and he said, "What about Kodiak?" And so we started kind of going down the Kodiak thread for 2 minutes, and realized Kodiak.com was, $250,000, but if we just said Ask Kodiak, all of a sudden we're down to $11.99.
Yeah, okay.
So four out of the concept is to sound different, and the ask was out of necessity to get the domain.
Yeah, okay. But also, essentially, that is exactly what your users do, is they ask you something. Okay, fair enough. Okay, got it. So we saved almost $250,000 by adding those three letters.
Buddy.
Good choice. All righty. So again, you're on askkodiak.com. If anybody has any questions, anything else? I'm not going to deluge you with phone calls, but if somebody wanted,
if somebody wanted
to reach out to you, email, or what's the best way?
Yep. I'm Mike at askkodiak.com. We're also very active on Twitter.
Okay.
At askkodiak.
All right.
There's a pretty good agent community out there, too, believe it or not, that we try to interact with.
On Twitter? Okay. Well, that is a conversation perhaps for a different podcast. My audience may know. Maybe they didn't notice. I've been socially active for years, but when I sold Agency Revolution, I just bagged it all and took a break. So, and I was active on Twitter for quite a while, but got very little traction. So I'm happy to hear that Twitter seems to be growing as a viable community for insurance agents.
It is. I mean, I think people are starting to look at it differently finally, which is great. The early rush was to just put these systems in place where they were scheduling tweets and, hey, let's put vacation time. Make sure to lock your house this summer. Don't let everybody on social media know you're not at home. Like, all that stupid stuff.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think the real opportunity has started to reveal itself that, wait a minute, that's a chance for you to build your brand by being yourself and creating a personality for it above and beyond just spam campaigns and stupid clip art and stock photography and really interacting with your constituents.
All righty. Well, Mike, this has been a pleasure. There's a lot more that we could talk about, like your InsurTech conference in Boston. But I'll let people do some research on that. We'll leave a few open loops and maybe we'll do this. We'll revisit again at some point in the future. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing your time and sharing your wisdom with us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.